the half has never been told. Amen. What a wonderful day to worship the Lord, and we hope and pray that everyone's doing well this morning. Again, we want to keep those in prayer that are ill this morning, that the Lord watch over them and keep them. Many express their desire to be here, but because of their illness, so we want to remember them today in prayer as well. We want to thank the Lord also for the wonderful weather He's given us, and just be thankful for all that God's done for us. But I thank every one of you for being here this morning, our second Sunday here, and we're looking forward to coming every Sunday except the first Sunday of the month, and holding worship services. And don't forget as well, every Wednesday at 10:30 we have Bible studies as well, but we're looking forward to that. But if you have your Bible with you this morning, turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 4. If not, just listen as I read. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. I want to look at a passage of Scripture that is probably very familiar with all of us, and yet it still remains quite strange and difficult to understand. There's many things about God that appear to be simple, and yet in that simplicity, there's also something that's very, very difficult, to hard to understand. And this is one of those verses in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Don't be over anxious. Don't worry. Don't fear for nothing. But, he doesn't stop there, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Be careful. Don't worry. Don't be afraid. Don't be filled with anxiety for nothing but pray. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come humbly this morning before the throne of grace. We are a people in great need this morning because, Father, we know what the torments of fear can do. Lord, how they trouble our minds and our hearts. Father, we need You this morning that we might know something of the God of all comfort. Lord, we pray that, God, You would instruct our hearts and our minds in Thy Word, that, Father, we might know the blessings behind this wonderful truth that Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4. Lord, we wish so to know more of the peace of God which passes all understanding. Lord, that we might feel its power protecting our hearts and our minds from the torments of those fears and anxieties which confront us every day. Lord, we do pray for those that are ill here in the home. Many express their desire to be here. We pray that, God, You'd touch them physically and spiritually. Lord, we pray for dear Mr. Conway in the hospital. We pray that, God, You'd give him quick recovery. Lord, we thank You for those who's come out this morning, and do pray that, God, You would now help me to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Even now, forgive me of my own shortcomings and sins, and use me, Lord God, to glorify Thy Son. Draw us all unto Him, Lord God. We pray these things in His name. Amen. Amen. Be careful. Don't worry. Don't be over anxious for nothing. You know, when you first read this passage of Scripture, and I've read it many times over the last 23 years, at first glance it seems to be very difficult, if not impossible. God, how can I not worry about things when there are so many things in life that causes me to worry? There's so many things that I confront in life that causes me anxiety. And many times I've felt the torments of fear. There's not a man, woman, or child in this world that has not at least occasionally been overwhelmed with some sort of fear. Many of you here this morning, and now your ripe old age, can bear witness that there's many things that you feared in life. And sometimes it overwhelms you. Fear of failure. Fear of the future. Fear of their job, of your health. Fear for our loved ones. Fear for our life. And fear even as death approaches. We fear when our body begins to be frail. We become dependent upon other people. This last week here, ministering to dear folks here, I've often heard at least three times people who said, you know, all my life I was so independent. I could do all things or a lot of things or most things by myself. And now my body doesn't allow me to do that. And I fear that day when I shall be dependent upon others to feed me, to hold me up, to care for me. And I haven't reached that stage in life, but in some way I can attempt to understand that that would be very troubling for someone. Fear is a tormenting thing. Ever since fear entered into the world by the fall of Adam, man has suffered under its torments. As a matter of fact, the first time you read about fear in the Bible is they come from the words of Adam when he says, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, and I hid myself. In that once paradise where Adam walked in fellowship and intimate union with God, when sin came in, Adam became afraid. That was the first effectual fruit or the effects of sin, fear. I heard your voice, and that voice that at one time comforted me and gave me great encouragement, and I rejoiced to hear. Remember that song, He Walks With Me and He Talks With Me in the garden? Adam said that voice that I once loved and that voice that once filled my heart with joy when sin came in, I heard that voice and suddenly I was afraid. For the first time, man knew what fear felt like. And beloved, ever since that day, fear has tormented man. What about tomorrow? What about my loved ones? What about my health? What about my job? What about my life? In fact, it's the fear of death. Hebrews says the devil keeps us in bondage all our lives. But with the coming of Christ into the world, the Prince of Peace, the Bible calls him, sinful man now has hope in attaining eternal peace through his life, death, burial, and resurrection from the dead. You remember when he was heralded by the angels coming into the world? In his birth in Luke, there the angels came down and he said, glory to God and peace on earth, goodwill towards man. That wasn't peace amongst the nations of which they proclaimed. That wasn't peace between America and Russia or America and Iran. It was the peace that man so often needed and felt and was denied by sin with God. Jesus Christ has now come into the world to bring peace between God and sinful man. And that's why it was a glorious herald. Glory to God in heaven. Peace on earth, goodwill towards man. Therefore, Paul says in Romans chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have what? We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that is that peace that Adam lost in the garden so many thousands of years ago. We now have in Jesus Christ that eternal peace with God through His sacrifice on Calvary. Being justified by faith. What glorious words. We have peace with God. Every man, woman, and child born into this world was born at enmity with God. There is no peace, saith my God, unto the wicked, said the prophet Jeremiah and Isaiah. There is no peace. And yet Christ, the Prince of Peace, is the one that brought us that peace with God. And having made peace, Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 says, and having made peace through the blood of His cross. Paul said in Ephesians, for He, Christ, is our peace. Oh, beloved, that is a wonderful peace that only those who have come to know Jesus Christ in a saving manner know anything about. You see, so many in the world today seek peace, and yet they're seeking temporal peace. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but what good is temporal peace when I have no eternal peace with God? I might have a moment of temporal peace, but if I never have eternal peace, that temporal peace will not last very long. It's vain and quickly flees my heart and my mind. But oh, if I know that I've got eternal peace through Jesus Christ with God, beloved, that's a peace that man can never take away from us. That's why the Lord said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. That's the peace that we have through Jesus Christ. And oh, beloved, what a wonderful thing that is in our hearts and our minds and our conscience to know that through the blood of Christ, I now have peace with God. I pray you know something of that peace this morning. That peace with God through Jesus Christ. And yet, though fear's greatest torments has been removed by the blood of Christ for the believer, that peace with God, even that great torment of fear has been removed. Beloved, even the greatest believers are not spared seasonal occasions of fear's temporal needs and cares. We still, as believers, can suffer under fear's torment. No, not of eternal fear, but our temporal needs and our cares. Can't we? This verse doesn't say that it's not going to happen. This verse encourages us, as we'll see in a few minutes, how to conflict, how to be aggressive, how to fight, how to overcome this fear. But it doesn't tell us it's not going to happen. David, a man after God's own heart, what did he say? What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. David didn't boast that he never feared. David humbly confessed that he feared. What time I am afraid. There are times in my life. David, the man after God's own heart, says, I fear. And yet those times that I fear, I'm going to trust in God. How could he do that? Well, first of all, because he had that peace with God through Jesus Christ. And again, I want to emphasize that. So many people in this world are looking for peace, and yet all they want is a temporal peace. Oh, relieve me from my problems, my cares, my worries. And yet they have no concern for their eternal peace. What good is temporal peace when I don't have eternal peace with God? Be careful for nothing, Paul says. But in everything, by prayer. You see, he gives us the solution. He gives us the key. He gives us the refuge the believer needs against such times of fear. He says, be careful for nothing. He says, but. He doesn't stop there. But in everything by prayer. If there's one subject about the Christian life that I have still yet to learn much of, even after 23 years as being a Christian, it's that of prayer. It still contains such mystery to me. And yet it's the one thing that we neglect the most in life. And it offers us so much pleasure and joy and comfort. The Bible speaks over and over of the power of effectual prayer, and yet it's one thing that we so often neglect in life. There's a power and there's a privilege and rich blessings which prayer brings to every true believer that we have yet to learn of. For not only does it draw us the closest to God in this life, as the old preacher says, but it also sets all the powers in heaven in motion, according to Scripture. And it sets all the powers in heaven on behalf of the believer, and that according to how we lay our petitions out. Did not our Lord say in Matthew 21:22, all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive? Would our Lord lie? All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer. And here's the key that holds that promise. Believing, ye shall receive. believing. How can I believe that what I'm asking for God will give me if I know nothing of eternal peace? If I know nothing of Jesus Christ, who is the mediator between God and man. And I say that because many people come to me and they say, "Preacher, oh, pray for me." Well, do you know the Lord? Well, I don't go to church and I don't read my Bible, but I need help. And oh, how we want to pray for them, but my desire is not for their temporal peace. Oh, that you might come to know the Prince of Peace, so that you too might approach Him and know what it is to be careful for nothing but by prayer and supplication. Make all your requests known unto God. That's what I desire. I don't desire that they just be temporally relieved of their problems. We don't like to see people in trouble and worried and full of care and anxiety. And so we pray for them. But oh, if they just knew the Prince of Peace for themselves, oh, what joy it would bring to their life. What privilege it would be. What a wonderful thing it would be for them to be able to approach the Prince of Peace themselves. And when they pray for all things, they too can say, "God will give whatsoever I ask in prayer because I believe in Him." Be careful for nothing. Lord, that's difficult, if not at all impossible. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know, that's probably the most hardest and most difficult prayer to give before God or to bring before God. When I'm in the moment, in the spirit of caring, is to pray with supplications and thanksgiving. And yet, that's how Paul says we must do that. How can I pray with thanksgiving when my heart is so burdened? And yet, Paul says that's how we must approach God under fear and anxiety. We must pray with all supplications with thanksgiving. Because the true believer knows that regardless of what his lot might be, he hasn't become what he actually deserved. And that with Christ, he actually has all things he needs. And though he might be feeling fear and anxiety at the moment for temporal needs, his eternal needs have been met in Christ, and therefore he has much to be thankful for. And so even though his heart is burdened with cares and worry, his faith rises above that and says, "God, I have fears and anxieties, but I do thank You for being such a wonderful and merciful God that You are." You see, that's the heart of a true believer who's really come to know that eternal peace in Jesus Christ, that even though we have these fears and anxieties, we still rise up in our prayers with praise and thanksgiving to God because He is who He is. You see, that's what a non-believer doesn't have. And so they pray and they pray and they pray and they wonder, "Why is God not answering my prayers?" Well, if you have no joy in God, how can you ever hope of having answers to your prayers? Because the answer to all our prayers is Christ Jesus. I want you to know that Paul says the peace of God, and we'll get there in a minute real quickly, but he says the peace of God, not peace with God. You can't have peace of God unless you have peace with God. The psalmist in Psalm 34:4, listen to what he said. He said, "I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears." Beloved, let it be understood, let us never diminish the tormenting power of fear. Fear is a very tormenting thing. When I looked into the face and the eyes of those this last week who realized that their body was becoming so frail that they're going to need someone to help them, they were fearful of that portion of life that finally their body would give out and they would be dependent upon other people. And that was a fearful thing, and we should never underestimate the tormenting power of fear. Fear is a very tormenting power. And the only thing that gives us refuge as believers against that tormenting fear is prayer. With supplication and thanksgiving, "Oh God, thank You for being such a merciful God that You are." You see, beloved, we've mentioned it quite often here, but in our prayers, if we would start with God instead of our problems and ourselves, our prayer lives would be totally different. Let me give you an example. I'm suffering under the fear of maybe my body becoming hindered and not being able to supply myself. If I began my prayers by saying, God, help me to be reminded how good and merciful You are, and that God, all things work out together for good to them that love God. Lord, that You promised to perfect all things that concern me, that You're my good shepherd, and I shall not want. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. If we begin prayer with God, by the time we get to our needs, they would seem so small and so insignificant in the light of us reminding ourselves how good and gracious God is. For you see, God can only do good. And if you're a child of God, all things are for good. Whether we understand that at the moment or not, all things work together for the good. And I know sometimes it's hard to grasp that. It's hard to believe that when fear is pressuring against our hearts and meddling with our faith and disturbing our peace. But yet, at the same time, beloved, prayer helps us. That's the refuge we have. I like what Spurgeon said about prayer delivering from all fears. And I'll hurry. He says, God makes a perfect work of it. He clears away both our fears and their causes, all of them without exception. Glory be to His name. Prayer sweeps the field, he says, slays all the enemies and even buries their bones. That's how powerful prayer is. Prayer is a mighty thing, but it must be done with supplication and with thanksgiving. Be careful for nothing but, he says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God. See, it's not the peace with God. Romans says, therefore we now have, what is it? Peace with God. Being justified by faith, we now have peace with God. Here he speaks the peace of God. So this is something that comes directly from God. It's not my peace he talks about, nor yours. He said, and the peace of God. It's not our peace, it's His peace. Shall keep your hearts and your minds. Shall keep your hearts and your minds. What is that that troubles us the most when we fear? It's our, first of all, our minds. We begin thinking things. We begin fearing the situation. Our mind begins to wander and we begin to think of the scenario and this could happen and that can happen and what if this happens? And God says, when you pray with supplications and thanksgiving, the peace of God, His peace, will keep your mind from those worrying thoughts. It's a military term. He says, I'll put a fortress around your mind so that your mind is not troubled by troubling and careful and anxiety or thoughts of anxiety. I will keep your mind. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you. You see that? When our mind is stayed upon God, we cannot be overcome with anxiety and fear because it's fixed on God who can do all things and does all things to perfect me. Do you know God has and will put every power He has, every characteristic, every attribute He has, He puts forth for our comfort and well-being as His people. Do you know that? That will keep Him in perfect peace, His mind is stayed on Thee. He'll fortify our minds. What's the next thing that troubles us? It's our hearts, isn't it? Oh, we get very emotional, don't we? Our hearts begin to be afraid. And you know what? It's kind of hard to calm your heart down when once your emotions begin to play or begin to be affected by fear. Oh, but because then you begin to fear tremendous. When fear reaches your heart, oh, beloved, it's hard. It's hard to tear it out of the heart. So be careful that you protect your mind because it goes from your mind to your heart. Because once you start thinking about it, it begins to affect your hearts. And before long, oh, you're troubled. You're full of sorrow and anxiety. You feel no strength. You're held captive by fear. God says, I'll keep your heart and your minds. I'll protect them. When your mind is stayed on me, I'll give you perfect peace. And oh, I'll keep your heart from worrying. It doesn't say that the things that caused those fears would be removed. It says that you're not going to be affected by them. If we lose a loved one, or if a loved one is in danger or health-wise or in the hospital, praying might not bring them out of that situation, but it will keep us from being affected by the fear which torments us. You see, God gets the greater glory if we get peace in the midst of a storm rather than getting rid of the storm. Most people say, get rid of the storm. God says, no, I want you to know my peace in the midst of the storm. I want you to know the waves and the wind are boisterous, the storms are there, but in the midst of all that, I am keeping you. That gives God more glory than if God took the storm completely away. Know something of the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that in the midst of your storm, you can say, peace, peace in my heart with God. That's the blessing. Peace. And how? Let me quickly close with this. Shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. There's the key. Through Christ Jesus. You see, it's God's peace, but it's through Christ Jesus. Amen? He is our peace. 1 John 4:18 says this. Listen real closely in closing. There is no fear in love. We've all been there. Just a few more minutes of your attention. We've all been there, but in your life, in the span of your life with your partners, your husbands or your wives, whatever the situation might be, when you face terrible times in life, maybe a very trying moment, if your love with your partner was strong enough, what is that that held you together? Then when you knew that together we can make it, as long as we're together, the love that you had with your husband or your wife, sometimes that was the thing that gave you the strength you needed to make it through your tough times. There is no fear in love. So you see, if we truly love God, there is no fear. Why? But perfect love casteth out fear, he says. When I love God with a perfect love, I cannot fear because God is in control. He's sovereign. He does all things according to His will in heaven upon earth. And God will perfect that which concerneth me. When I love God, it will cast the fear out of my heart and my mind. Because fear hath torment, he said. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So if I fear, I haven't been made perfect in God's love. You see, beloved, that's why it's so important. You look at verses like this and they seem so simple, and they are on one side, and yet they're so complicated, so powerful, so simple and so majestic. So let me read it again in closing. Be careful for nothing, dearly beloved. Be careful for nothing. And I know for many of you in the phase of life where you're at, many fears can torment you. And I say to you, based on the Word of God, if you know Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, I beg of you, I plead with you, be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And if you do, dearly beloved, here's the promise. And the peace of God which passes all understanding, goes far beyond any human understanding or logic. That peace which is higher than anything anybody can comprehend, that peace of God, not your own, peace of God shall promise. Keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. What a glorious Savior. Beloved, if you're a child of God, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. What shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus? Romans chapter 8. Nothing. If God be for us, who shall be against us? So I encourage you. I encourage you from my whole heart. Be careful for nothing, but by prayer. Amen. Know something about the peace of God that passes all understanding. Let it keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. May God bless you. May God keep you. We love you dearly. We thank each and every one of you for coming this morning, and pray that you would enjoy the presence of the Lord today. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You again for the day. We thank You for Thy precious Word, which teaches us so many wonderful truths. Father, how we pray that You would help these dear people. Help us all that we might know more of this peace of God which passes all understanding. That, Lord, we might know of its power keeping our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Lord, we love You and we thank You for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.